This is Dr. Jay Corsandi, and you're listening to The Best Night Ever, the show that's dedicated to helping you get your best night's sleep. Over the last 20 years of treating patients, I've worn many hats, including dentist, engineer, psychologist, artist, corporate executive, and more. I've found that the key to success, health, and longevity lies in sleep, and that's why I created this show. I want to teach you how to make sleep your best friend. Join me on a journey to uncover cutting-edge science, life-changing tips from renowned experts, ancient and modern sleep secrets, game-changing routines, and lifestyle hacks that will educate, inspire, and ultimately help you get the best night ever. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. And before we get into this episode, I want you to do a quick exhale for me. And then I want you to take in a deep breath in through your nose. And hold it for 3, 2, 1, and now let it go. And my question to you is, how much thought did you just give to what went through your nose, deep down into your lungs, through your capillaries, and ultimately throughout your body? So right now you might be sitting outside in an open natural space with beautiful fresh air, or you might be stuck in traffic in your car breathing in exhaust fumes. Or maybe you're inside an apartment building with a neighbor that smokes. In this episode, we're going to explore the air around you, as well as the air you breathe and why it's more important than ever to pay closer attention to it. My guest today is David Milburn. David is part of the executive team over at HypoAir, and I've met this guy and got a chance to spend some time with him, and he is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to air quality and air filters, and you're going to be blown away, literally, with all the things you've never thought about when you hear what he has to say. In this episode, you'll learn the difficulty with air quality analysis and what you can do about it, why you may not always get what you pay for when it comes to air filters. Surprise, surprise. What are the most common air quality offenders? What sick building syndrome is and why you might be in one? What you can do to improve your living and working environment? The difference between trapping germs and actually killing them? Why your current air filter could be doing more harm than good? And a whole lot more. Just a quick note before we start, if you are interested in learning more about air filters or the products we talk about on the show, I've got a discount code for you. You can use Best Night Ever, all one word, at hypoair.com to get yourself 10% off your order. That's hypoair.com, and be sure to use Best Night Ever for 10% off, which can make a big difference both in your wallet and in your air quality. So I invite you to sit back, relax, take in a fresh, deep breath of air, and enjoy the show. All right, David, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
So we're talking about air quality on this show, and this is something that I've been curious about, interested about. I'm always talking about things on the show on how to improve sleep, sleep quality, quality of life. And I know people do a lot of things in terms of supplements and routines and even water. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about filtering our water, but sure. The conversation about air is a little bit less popular.
It's easy to overlook.
So it's
funny that you mentioned water, actually, because we breathe about an Olympic-sized swimming pool of air every day.
We breathe in, say that again?
An Olympic-sized swimming pool of air.
Wow, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. We don't even think about that.
Yeah, all those things you're ingesting, it's easy not to think about. You don't think about breathing. You don't think about what you're breathing, per se.
So we're going to go deep into breathing, which is funny because I've had podcasts about deep breathing, but this is something sure. different. We're going to talk about HypoAir mm-hmm. and Air Oasis, which are a brand of companies mm-hmm. focused on air filtration. I guess tell everyone kind of what the company sure. does and why we're even here in the first place.
Right. So we're the manufacturer. So we are focused on air quality and inventing technologies and products that actually do the job. So our customers range from the tallest building in the world, police departments, resorts, tens of thousands of homes, you know, everything from a grocery store to a baby's nursery. We're trying to find the solutions that actually work, whether it's inventing new technologies or combining existing ones to achieve, you know, practical results in a dynamic environment.
Okay, so you said air filters and products that actually do the job.
Sure, yeah.
So what does that mean?
So there's a couple aspects to that. I think our industry in general has made claims much larger than they can fulfill in general. So if you go to a store, you know, the air purifiers on the shelves are going to make general claims that probably aren't realistic for the real world environment they're going to be placed in. And they also overlook a lot of contaminants that also make a big difference with our health. So a basic store-bought filter may not even filter all the particulates in the air, let alone the chemicals, which would be in the VOC category. They may have no effect at all on biological contaminants like bacteria or viruses, you know, mold, mycotoxins. There's a lot that makes up our air, and a lot of kind of a general filter is going to not even make an attempt to deal with those contaminants. So,
So air is all around us. And we mentioned the Olympic sized swimming pool amount of air that we breathe. So why don't people pay more attention to it? What do you think is going on there?
I mean, I think the short answer is it's hard to experience. And the knowledge right now is growing to connect how our environment, our airborne environment, is affecting our health. So there's a lot to learn still on that. But in general, people may not connect with how they're feeling or how they're sleeping with, say, an invisible mold spore that's in their air. And so they may not even know it's there, let alone the effect that it might be having on them. So it's easy to overlook.
Absolutely. So it's, you mentioned the mold spore thing here. So I'm just thinking about places that I've lived in the past. Some were, it was a moldy house in Long Island, New York, and there was a basement, and you know, it was just a brutal environment. And this was before I kind of went down this whole journey of biohacking and learning all these things. And besides mold, what are the main offenders that people have in their house that could be potentially, you know, either polluting the air or affecting their health?
Well, and one thing to mention is we're going to react to the contaminants in our home differently than the other people in the home. So depending on who you read with something like mold, it might be between 5 and 30% of people are going to have an allergic reaction to a type of mold. So it's not just the contaminant, but who you are and the concentrations of it. So something like mold is, it's almost in every home. The statistics are close to 100% of homes have mold, but it's how do we as people individually react to that mold and how concentrated the mold is and what types of mold. So it does get pretty complicated pretty fast, but PM 2.5 is a measurement of particulates that is related to, say, the traffic pollution out the window here. That is a particulate size that's so fine that it goes right past our natural defenses. PM 2.5 is one of the contaminants in cities that are linked most often with respiratory issues. So that would be something related to, you know, say something like exhaust, like a man-made source.
Okay.
You know, VOCs would be a general category of contaminants that make up chemical compounds, odors. Some of those are completely harmless. Some of them in concentrations can be deadly.
What are VOCs? Volatiles?
Volatile organic compounds.
Okay, got it.
So it's a pretty broad category. Most odors are going to fall into a VOC category. You're going to hear the term VOC a lot. Something like a cleaning chemical is going to off-gas chemicals.
I've heard of off-gassing on like mattresses and things like
that. Yeah, so like paint, new car smell, all those things are kind of in the general. You're smelling chemicals, whether you like the smell or not.
I love new car smell.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, we work with, you know, casinos in Vegas, and they're going to layer on VOCs on top of cigarettes to make a smoky coconut smell to try to make it a little bit more appealing. But you're still layering on more chemicals on top of something that's already bad for you. And that would be a lot of, you know, detergents and deodorants have, you know, chemical odors associated with them.
Okay.
So, and, you know, again, people are reactive in different levels to that. Some it might not bother them. Some it will be very irritating. So if you go to a hotel, sometimes it's just the cleaning chemicals that are triggering maybe respiratory issues. It might be leading to a more negative night's sleep.
That's crazy. I didn't even think about that. I always think of when I go to like hotels as far as the curtains and the lighting and, you know, the water system and the showers. And I've got filters on my showers. I got all kinds of stuff at home, but I kind of forget about the air quality sometimes as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we've done studies in our hotels where right after they spray the cleaning chemicals in an attempt to clean the room, the VOCs actually jump up by 8 times. So a multiple of 8 times just when they're cleaning, you know, the room.
So stuff is just getting thrown up into the air.
Yep.
Okay. So now I've actually had one of your systems at home. It's called the iAdapt Air. Is that what it's called?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I put it in my bedroom. I've been using it for a while now. And I got to say, I'm much more aware of air quality, whether it's in my house or just where I'm out and about. And I've noticed that, you know, my sleep has been pretty good generally. This just takes it up a little bit more. Sure. And I'm a big fan of learning whatever we can do to optimize sleep. Obviously, that's the theme of the show here. Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about casinos and hotels and things like that. The company here makes a broad line of different air filtration products.
That's right, yeah.
Both for residential and commercial. Mm-hmm. What are some of the commercial applications?
I mean, the commercial applications for our technology, we could talk for hours on that probably. As a company, we do struggle with focus.
Okay.
Because the applications are quite vast. I can tell you that we've worked with medical applications. Mm-hmm. So hospitals.
Yeah, I would think hospitals would be a great application.
Yep. And you know, one of the things we haven't talked about is some of the things that make our technologies really different.
Yeah.
But with our technologies, we're proactively sanitizing the room and surfaces in the room. So we can actually safely kill something like C. diff or VRE or MRSA on a surface 24/7. So if you think about a hospital application, you know,
it's a no-brainer.
It's pretty amazing. And right now the hospitals aren't doing anything wrong per se, but about 5% of people that walk into a hospital get an infection from the hospital. And that's just kind of the nature of, you get a bunch of sick people in a building, you're trying to have surgeries and, you know, all this, you know, dynamic activities are going on. Well, a lot of times those same activities are making more people sick. And, you know, the unit you have at home, this residential unit, we tested to remove 99.998% of H1N1 in 20 minutes. And yet almost no waiting room, emergency waiting room anywhere in the U.S. has even a residential purifier as effective as yours.
Wow.
Dealing with something we've already proven to do.
Now, so. I don't want to leave my bedroom ever again. It's like, you know, I've got immunity in this little place. It's like a cocoon, right?
Yeah. And so medical applications, I mean, within the same hospital, we'll have units installed in the HVAC. So that, like, the air handlers on top of the building, we have units specialized just to purify the air and sanitize surfaces in the ice machines in the hospital.
And ice machines.
So the ice machines being a damp.
Well, why would that be even an issue?
So ice machines, it's not something you want to think about or research very much because it gets gross pretty quickly. But the ice, say, you know, one study in fast food, an informal study, found that the ice machines were dirtier than the toilet water in the same fast food restaurant.
Oh, boy.
But it's a damp environment. It's dark. You've got these coils that creates the ice, and those are prone to build biofilm and mold, and it just grows on those coils, and it's a really perfect environment, especially in restaurants that are baking their own bread. So they've got yeasts in the air, they're refilling the ice, and all that stuff from the air is getting into the ice machines, and then it's a perfect little incubator for that stuff. So with our ice machine application, you know, most of our customers are not actually buying them to make the ice cleaner or safer. They're just buying it to save money on maintenance because they get filthy so quickly, they have to pay for people to come out. So all that to say, but, you know, food surface applications, transportation of food, grocery stores, meat carving areas, meat production, you know, packaging of fresh produce, because you've got, you know, microorganisms in the air that are cross-contaminating. You know, you've got something like ethylene gas coming out of a tomato is ripening something else that's in the same package. So there's tons of applications. And, you know, everything transportation, reefer trucks, you know, anything with an odor pretty much. So we work in kennels, sewage plant exhaust, you know, casinos, you know, hotels.
So
office buildings.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So the list goes on and on.
Sure.
So, and this is one of the reasons why I got excited about working and experiencing your technology and product, because as the people on this podcast listening may have seen, there's a million choices when it comes to air filters. Mm-hmm. There's the kinds that you can get on Amazon or even at your local, you know, Best Buy or whatever. Sure. And then there's some fancy ones that I've seen, some fancy marketing and their sleek designs. Yep. It's funny. There's one out there that that looks kind of like Bang & Olufsen. I don't know if you remember that, but it used to be these super hi-fi stereo systems that was just super sleek looking, ultra expensive. But anyway, so I guess form follows function. So when I started setting up the machine, it's a very standard kind of looking machine, not super fancy, sleek looking, but I'm a kind of person that likes function above all else, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, this machine is able to perform at like crazy levels. And that's one of the things I liked about it. What are some other characteristics of a good air filtration system if people are out there looking for one?
Sure. So expense does not necessarily correlate with efficacy, right?
Okay, yeah.
And so a lot of times you are paying for marketing and Facebook ads when you're buying that air purifier. But, you know, one of the things to think about is that it's not one size fits all. Companies that are claiming they've just got one unit, it's going to deal with every air quality issue you could possibly have in every environment. That's probably a red flag to begin with. A filter is going to be based off of the efficacy of that filter in trapping particulates. So something like a HEPA purifier is a really good in many applications, but you got to look at the quality of that HEPA, you know, the quality of the manufacturer itself, and you have to somehow kind of navigate all the fluffy marketing claims. So there's no such thing as hyper HEPA and super duper HEPA and mega HEPA. It's a classification of filter. And so there's a lot of layered on marketing fluff that really doesn't mean anything with a lot of these purifiers. And so it's actually a grade of HEPA.
Mm.
You know, with your iAdapt and the H14 grade HEPA, it's an actual classification of HEPA.
Is that one of the higher levels?
That is actually the highest level of HEPA. And then beyond that, it goes into ULPA filters,
okay,
which are, you know, even finer, but those are typically less effective because you have less airflow. At some point,
so they're restrictive.
Yeah, it gets so fine that you've got, you know, all this static pressure to push the air through it, and it actually proves to be less effective in the real world.
Okay. So HEPA is kind of like when I change the air filters on my heating and air conditioning, there's different stages and levels and things
absolutely
like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, HEPA is effective. You know, your specific product does have HEPA.
Okay.
A lot of ours don't. But HEPA in general is only going to trap things, and it's only going to trap certain things. So if the particulate is too small, or something like a virus, it's way too small. It goes right through the HEPA filter.
Okay.
Something like a mold spore, it's going to get caught on there, but the HEPA doesn't do anything to kill it.
All right.
So if all you do is just have HEPA, you're just going to be trapping those mold spores, and then you're going to be feeding them more organic material, and they get to grow on the HEPA filter. So having layers of different technologies is, I think, typically a better approach than something just like HEPA.
Okay.
So, you know, you can layer on with HEPA something like carbon. So carbon filtration, activated carbon, that's having a different effect. You know, some of our technologies are going to be incorporating multiple stages of action, which are have different, you know, reactions with the type of contaminants that there are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a better approach because, you know, the diversity of contaminants in our air, it requires a
diverse filter.
Yeah, different strategy, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, with our technologies, if you want me to kind of break those down a little bit.
Yeah, we can go through the little technologies. I get excited about this stuff just because, you know, it's analogous to water filtration. Mm-hmm. And I used to have a regular water filter in the home, and now I've got a reverse osmosis one with a charcoal filter. It's got four stages.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the difference is unbelievable.
Sure.
Like my kids, when they drink that water and then they go to friends' houses, they go, this water tastes like metal. And I go, that's terrible. But you really do notice a difference once you start paying attention to what you're trying to fix or eliminate or mitigate or whatever.
Yep,
but so we've got a HEPA filter. We've got the black
carbon. I think the next one maybe to talk about would be UV light. So UV light being a wavelength of light like sunlight.
Yeah.
And so depending on the wavelength, you can achieve a germicidal effect. So, you know, sunlight kills germs.
Right.
Right. So something pretty simple like that. UV light's been used in air quality applications for decades. The limitations of UV light are going to be that it has to be really close to the bulb in order to have the same level of efficacy. So the difference between 1 inch and 2 inches is substantial. And you need airflow rates and direct line of sight. So with a UV bulb, you can have in your induct system, but it's only going to affect the things that go into the line of sight of that light, right?
Okay.
And it's not going to have any effect on physical particulates. You know, the sunlight is not, you know, evaporating these pieces of things. So it's going to be killing things, and that's it. It's also not going to have an effect on chemicals. So something like germicidal UV light is an effective tool in your arsenal, but it's not an end-all be-all. So our units that have our APCO technology have a germicidal UV light inside of the catalyst. And so what that technology is it's called advanced hydrated photocatalytic oxidation. It's a mouthful.
Wow.
It was branded by engineers and about 15 years ago. But so we commercialized NASA's version of photocatalytic oxidation. So that's PCO. Photocatalytic oxidation mimics the natural process in Earth's atmosphere where sunlight, the germicidal UV light, is reacting with minerals, and that creates a catalytic reaction. So that process was originally applied to the space station where they were trying to deal with ethylene gas that was produced, you know, by, you know, we mentioned earlier, you know, some produce produces ethylene gas, and that's also not a good thing for other ones. So they're, you know, the NASA guys were thinking, if we're going to go to Mars or, you know, further in the future, we have to grow our own food.
Right.
And you've got this sealed environment, which is about as, it probably is as complicated as you're going to get with air quality, because you're just recirculating the same air. You got to keep revitalizing it. You got to keep using it. Even the smallest amount of something could eventually build up. Right. So they were looking at how could they remove something like ethylene gas, a VOC, on an ongoing basis. And that's when they commercialized PCO, which was the UV light chain on titanium dioxide catalyst. We commercialized that with APCO. Mm. So we combine a number of other minerals there. And so that creates a catalytic reaction. You've got the germicidal UV light, you've got hydroxyl radicals, you're producing, these different natural processes to take care of pretty much any biological, any chemical compound. And that's called APCO. And then our other technology is polar ionization. So that's also mimicking a natural process that takes place actually near water. You've probably heard of negative ionizers. So negative ionizers being you're producing a large quantity or some quantity of negative oxygen ions.
Okay.
Those like to attract to themselves. So O negative becomes O2, becomes O3. So you have a cascading reaction that produces ozone, and it actually builds up static. So, back maybe 10 years ago, Ionic Breeze came out.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about that because I purchased one. I would say mm-hmm. probably every single person in the U.S. had one.
A lot of people did.
Yeah. So that got for sharper image mm-hmm. thing that yep. had the metal kind of sheets, I guess, and you'd put it in and it bzzz, and then mm-hmm. you would smell that kind of.
So that's the ozone you're smelling.
Yeah. So and how that kind of went and exactly, how this is going.
Yep. So with that one, they were known to create kind of a black wall syndrome behind the unit. And so that's because they were giving static electricity to particulates. And so they were sticking together and then sticking to the wall right by it. And they made claims related to a room that were actually applicable to about the unit. Mm. So yeah, maybe it did that thing. But if you put it in a room and you're a few feet away, it's not doing anything over there. Mm. If that makes sense. So the claims were not applicable to the environment. And that's where they lost millions in a lawsuit because they were exaggerating the claims. And so with O negative, it's more a synthetic, unnatural thing to have just high quantities of O negative. Yeah. So O3, yeah.
Okay.
But the O negative would cascade into ozone. Mm-hmm. So instead of reacting with the contaminants, you're just kind of binding with each other and becoming ozone. And
right.
So ozone, is also naturally occurring. The concentrations of something like ozone is where it becomes problematic. So there's a lot of purifiers on the market, especially maybe a few years ago, that they would produce high unnatural concentrations of ozone. Because ozone is an effective, disinfectant. But if you get something that's unnatural, it's going to have its own problems too. And an unnatural concentration of ozone is where it gets problematic. So with just a negative ionizer, it's not going to be doing a whole lot. And you've got a potential for, a problem of having undesired ozone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So with ours, the polar ionization, you're actually splitting water vapor, so H2O, into its components, so hydrogen and oxygen.
So you're not putting water in the machine. It's taking the water that's in the air.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. So it's positive hydrogen, negative oxygen. Instead of creating static electricity, you're actually removing static electricity and you're getting the particles to bind to each other, not just, through static electricity, like getting it to bond to the wall. So you're actually getting the bind to each other. And then as they react with something like a chemical, they're reverting back to H2O and CO2. So you're breaking down the molecular bonds that build up something like a formaldehyde gas or, another chemical. And with something like mold, you're able to kill the mold on the surface because the mold does not survive outside, in more of the natural process outside. And then with the spores that are being released, you're giving them a positive or negative charge. So you're getting these particles to stick together and either stick to your filter or drop out of the air because they get too heavy. And then with the mycotoxins is what a mold produces. They're kind of like the toxic chemicals that make the environment nice for them, but not nice for us.
Right.
So you're breaking those down to their chemical components, which would be H2O and CO2. And because you're producing both the positive and negative, the oxygen's not binding to each other. They're actually reacting with the environment. So, so that would be kind of how that functions.
Yeah, I hope you folks caught that. But this is one of the reasons I got excited about this company is because, it tugs on my geek core of all these different technologies and your mission of how to get out there and really clean up something that a lot of people don't really pay too much attention to.
Yeah.
The bipolar or ionization that mm-hmm. we were just talking about. Now, I went on the website also. I noticed that there's You know, I've got the filter that's working for a room, but sure, there's whole house applications mm-hmm. as well too. And there's this gnarly looking thing. You put it in your HVAC central system mm-hmm. and it does the same thing, or what's that one?
So we've got a number of products that will fit in the HVAC system of a home or a building. The benefit of an HVAC system is you're feeding air to multiple rooms.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how powerful a room air purifier is. If you've got a door closed, it doesn't,
it's done.
It can't function. So you have limitations with airflow with a conventional plug-in air purifier. With a unit that installs an HVAC, you can program that HVAC to just blow, even if it's not cooling or heating the air. Mm. And then if you purify that air, and especially if you layer on something like our polar ionization, you're not only purifying the air that's coming into the room, you're circulating out the bad ones, and then all that ionization is going into the room as well, and you're dealing with the contaminants already in the ambient air. So, there's a lot of benefits to it, a lot of just efficiencies, from that standpoint. And then also, the HVAC is not something most people ever think about, but it's a damp, dark environment that mold likes to grow in as well. So, the air coming into your room, especially in a lot of offices, we find can also be very problematic. So people describe, the AC comes on and they start to feel a little funky or something.
Wow.
A lot of times that could be because the AC system itself is now, I guess, worsening the problem
right.
instead of bringing in what you would think of as fresh air.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. interesting. Okay. So we're talking about how to get a good night's sleep. I think this is a tremendous tool because obviously we're breathing mm-hmm. all day and all night. And especially at night, we're out, 7-8 hours and we don't really have control of the environment. We mm-hmm. kind of succumb to wherever we are.
Right.
So for the biohacker world, that's something that mm-hmm. I'm big into. We've talked about it before on the show, how we can kind of hack our environment and our biology. This kind of really resonates with me because, you mentioned things that are all biohacking type terms, the negative ions, static electricity and the kind of grounding effect of this thing, sun exposure and the qualities of the sun. So this is something that for people who are listening, obviously I'm excited about this product. I want to share with everyone how to get better sleep performance and also daytime performance. So I want you to really consider the quality of your air when you're at home. And I guess that leads me to the next question. What if you want to take this to the next level if you're in your car or if you go and travel, sure. How do you kind of control your air environment?
Sure. And I mean, mentioning the biohack world, Dave Asprey is prone to problems when he travels, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we sent him one of our mobile, air purifiers, for that application, because especially when you're in a new environment, you are more aware of at least what's in your air, not necessarily that it's affecting you more, but you go into a room that you haven't been in before, you might pick up on things that you wouldn't otherwise if you're spending all the time in that room. So you can be a little bit more sensitive when you're traveling. And also those environments are often quite dirty too. So, with a hotel room, a car, cars have mold just like homes do. And you're also exposed to things like road pollution.
Yeah.
And if you go to a different environment where, say, the pollen is different than, what you grew up with or something, even something like that can be very triggering of different people, which can certainly lead to respiratory related issues.
Absolutely. Interesting. So do you have a car version?
We do. Yeah. So we have one that would just plug into the cigarette lighter.
Awesome.
And, have a similar.
I need to get one of that mm-hmm. because, I live in LA and, right. and you're in Orange County. Mm-hmm. And if you live in Southern California, you're going to spend a lot of time mm-hmm. in your car.
Sure.
And two things, like you said, the road pollutants and smog and things like mm-hmm. that. And also, if you haven't fired up your air conditioning in a while, I think mm-hmm. we all know what that smell is like when sure. it first comes out, that funky mm-hmm. kind of moldy smell. So
yep.
Now I need to get one of those. Damn.
Yeah. And a lot of these things too, we wish it was simpler, but it is complicated, right? And so the air quality out here where we're sitting, you've got a road nearby.
Yeah.
It's going to fluctuate significantly just today. So the amount of pollution during rush hour could be 30 or more times worse than at another time of night. And then if you take the same environment during, say, like an allergy season where the pollen is higher, it's mm-hmm. going to be very different, the air. And then you throw in something like a wildfire or something. So the air outside fluctuates significantly in how it affects us.
Does it also differ for people who live in different areas? Let's say you're out kind of in a more suburban countryside area, or if you're in an urban area by, next to the 405 freeway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, we're trying to work with some schools near the LA port here, Long uh-huh. Beach port. And they call it the diesel highway of death.
Diesel highway. I think that, really, is that the 710?
Yeah, it's a 710. So you've got, you know, all this truck traffic.
Yeah.
It's, it might be the biggest port in the U.S. I'm not sure. I think it's about 50% of our imports. It's substantial. So you've got all this diesel truck traffic going up the 710. And if you look at the rates of asthma in the schools nearby, so schools are sadly oftentimes in more central location, near big roads, you know, that kind of thing. The rates of something like asthma near that highway are substantially worse than, you know, say a countryside school. You know?
Wow.
But it's not something that you can often see or taste or experience, but there's more and more data coming out to show the effects on us.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting you said that, you know, obviously water we can taste, mm-hmm. you know, and certain things we can feel, but air is a little bit tough to put our finger on. So how would you know if you're either in a toxic environment or, you know, poor air quality, or if you need a filter?
We wish it was easier. I mean, the short answer is we would probably say you would benefit from one in almost every case. But, you know, I've got a commercial client here. I won't say their name, but they're a large aerospace company, one of the largest in the world. They spent, I want to say, about $15,000 in testing. In a single room.
Just a one room test.
And did not find what they were looking for when in the air quality issue. So air quality sensor technologies are still a long ways from providing a comprehensive view of our air. Something like particulate counts are relatively easy to get. And so like your iAdapt unit has a particulate sensor.
Ah.
So you can be looking at, so that's the physical matter. You can be looking at the rates of something like that. But something like a specific VOC, a specific chemical compound, can be pretty tricky to find and very costly. We do sell a very basic air quality test for biologicals. So it's just a sampler, gives people kind of a way to experience, you know, their air in a new way. So they can basically trap things like mold, bacteria, viruses.
So it's like a Petri dish or something?
That's all it is. Yep, Petri dish. I mean, you could send it into a lab to get it analyzed, but really our goal is just to make it something that you can experience a little bit more, because, you know, I think we all maybe are more familiar with something like carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
You can't smell it, but it could kill you. And we're not trying to be fear mongers, but that's just to say our noses are very sophisticated, but they can't pick up many things that could be harmful to us. And so something like mold, you may never smell. I mean, but if you're smelling a mustiness in general, that's probably going to be problematic and related to mold.
Mm-hmm. Mold is a big one. Obviously, in the whole biohacker world, too, it's a mitochondrial mm-hmm. destroyer. I've had some exposure to it, I think, in the past. Would you say it's more towards people who live in coastal areas? Does that tend to
Definitely
be more of an issue?
Definitely in the southeast of the U.S., we get a lot of people with severe mold infestations in their home.
Right.
But, you know, mold is extremely common. It's just, I think, the concentrations and how it reacts with people.
Mm.
But I think there's also a lot of new research in that area. And so because of that, I think it's really fresh in our minds, because we have so many customers that are contacting us probably almost every day saying that their lives have been derailed.
Mm.
And now they're realizing that it's probably at least related to their mold exposure.
So speaking of customers that contact you, who tends to be the most common, I guess there's an avatar or type reaching out to you looking for solutions?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed over the years. I mean, in general, it's historically been people with a known issue,
mm-hmm.
or at least that are very proactive, you know, with their health. But a lot of times we do get people with a known issue, whether it's a known mold issue, known respiratory issue that they're trying to kind of hack, or an odor issue, something along those lines. They've got something to contrast it. In our company, we're not making health-related claims that, you know, you get our products and now you don't, you know, get sick or something like that. But these are people that they have an issue and they know that air is part of that problem. And so they've done their research to find a product that they think, you know, can really do the job. Yeah. And so then they can see it in action.
Yeah.
So, but then we definitely get a lot of people that are just proactive. You know, they know air quality is important and they're wanting to find the best, you know, for their situation. But we get all, you know, socioeconomic ranges. We get people that, you know, they're scraping together money to get just kind of the bare minimum, and we get, you know, very high end clients as well. So
yeah. It's funny you mentioned that because it kind of, it's analogous to what I do in my day job as, you know, a doctor who treats patients for snoring and sleep apnea, sure. what's called sleep disorder breathing. There's that segment of population that has a known problem mm-hmm. that they're trying to overcome or get back mm-hmm. to normal. And then, you know, by night I'm sleep biohacker on sure. Instagram mm-hmm. who's looking to kind of optimize mm-hmm. and take it to the next level. Right. So I think this could actually be kind of in that same boat where mm-hmm. you're doing two, you could be doing both things. One, you could be helping to resolve certain issues. Mm-hmm. And on the other end, you could be also proactive right. and prevent stuff, which is what I tend to focus on personally.
We would love people to be more proactive, and yes. I would love to be more proactive myself personally, but yeah. just kind of the nature of it is we tend to deal with headaches more than vitamins kind of thing.
This is true. So speaking of proactive, you know, back to kind of what I do, you know, people who snore or have sleep apnea tend to be almost completely mouth breathers mm-hmm. and they breathe with their mouth at night. And which is the incorrect way to sleep or breathe, you should be using your nose. Mm-hmm. So having this unit in a bedroom where if you are breathing from your mouth, you're missing out that filtration and the humidification of your nose.
Sure.
Is this kind of a cool little like nose substitute or what do you think?
Well, I mean, we have built-in natural defenses. Some of those are insufficient to the contaminants that we are dealing with, especially the concentration. So, you know, we're not trying to sterilize your indoor environment. We're trying to bring it back into a more normal, I guess, balance. So, you know, something that you'd find more outside versus the super high concentrations inside. But for at least 10 years, we've been getting testimonials of people related to sleep. And it's only been this last year that we're thinking, wow, we should really be more intentional in trying to track this and quantify it and take a really serious look at sleep, because we know, you know, I think we all intuitively know that, hey, if your nose is giving you problems, it's all stuffed up from dealing with something as simple as like some type of allergen. Yeah, you're going to be breathing through your mouth that
right,
night. You know,
right.
your kids get, you know, a cold and their noses are clogged up. They're probably going to have a bad night's sleep. You know, my son earlier this year, I think we were talking about it before, his nap times were, he was having all these respiratory issues during his naps, and we had big high pollen counts. Yeah. Otherwise, he's sleeping great. But, you know, obviously there's a correlation there with, you know, he's being exposed to these things. He's not having a safe place to recover.
Yeah.
And he's sleeping poorly.
Yeah. So folks out there who are listening to this, mm-hmm. if you have young kids, I encourage you to go kind of check in on them when they're asleep one night and see if they are breathing from their nose or from their mouth, because it could be an air quality issue in the room. It could be allergies. It could be all kinds of different sure. things. But if they are breathing from their mouth, that's a major red flag, and that's going to set them up for a lifetime of nasal obstruction, potential teeth crowding, grinding, and then, you know, fast forward to the 30s and 40s, snoring and sleep apnea, because I see it all the time. This is the progression of mouth breathing, which is, you know, you'll get different skeletal formation of your jaws,
wow.
your head, and posture. So, you know, be a little bit more proactive with your kids, especially, because if you can kind of hack their air quality or at least help them keep their mouth shut, it's crazy, because I actually taped my kids' mouths just recently.
Yeah,
I started
sure.
taping their mouths shut just because I don't want them breathing from their mouth. So another way to hack your kids, I guess, is to just kind of monitor the air quality. I mean, I'm using it for my own self in my bedroom and for my kids' room. So thank you for
yeah,
that.
That's
a very cool mm-hmm. way to do that. So let's talk about something that I kind of am curious about. And we mentioned a little bit is sick building syndrome. Mm-hmm. Familiar with that?
Absolutely.
So tell me a little more about what that is. Possibly. All right. Yeah. I think we all are.
Yeah. I think the statistics are not real helpful, but it's maybe around 50% of buildings. So it's substantial, where the building itself is sick in a way. And we talked about that briefly. It could be something like the HVAC is just covered in mold or you know, something just disgusting like that. And, you know, it could be the chemicals, but in general, it's, you know, you go into your office and now you feel sleepy, you feel lethargic, you know, there's all kinds of ways we react, but the building itself is a problem. And so that is substantially more the case these days. And part of that is because we've attempted to make our buildings energy efficient. And so we've sealed them up very tightly.
Mm.
And we try to even reduce ventilation. We try to kind of cut costs. And so we're also trapping things in. So you're not just trapping the energy in, which is kind of the goal, but you're also trapping in the unhealthy you know, contaminants, and then you have no mitigation strategy for those contaminants other than trying to bring in a little bit more outside air occasionally. And so that has contributed to, you know, very unhealthy workspaces, living spaces, and that would be kind of the sick building syndrome.
So not to mention the potential EMF stuff going on and all that.
I mean, there's a lot there, right, that we're starting to understand about our environments and, you know, how they affect us.
So if you're listening and you work in a cubicle or in an office that's really kind of pulling you down, they should be paying attention perhaps to more things than you think.
And even, you know, we've seen studies with children's math and test scores in general and how it's directly correlated with ventilation.
Wow.
Just something as simple as ventilation. We're not even talking about purifying the air.
Wow. I mean, it's crazy. You know, my kids go to a school where they're much more proactive towards this stuff. And we had a little parent-teacher meeting, and they put me in charge of room purification.
Oh, there you go.
And what that involved was me switching out. They had these nasty blue LED bulbs, that which were just like this institutional kind of burn into your eyeball type thing. So I went and put old incandescent bulbs. We put EMF filters and EMI, which is electromagnetic interference, kind of dirty electricity filters. Sure. And then we installed some air filters that the parents brought over. But I'm going to get some of yours and put them in there too, because it's made a huge impact. All the parents and teachers were like, oh my God, what a difference when you start to really focus in all these different things. Like you said, it's not one magic silver bullet. Right. I mean, it's a combination of all these different assaults on your biology.
Yeah, because there's not one problem. There's a lot of problems, and different schools or different environments are going to have maybe a lot more of one thing. But you know, there's a general air quality, but you need multiple ways to deal with it. You know?
All right. So your air filters, obviously, I'm a big fan of them. I think there is an investment component tied to these, which you know, if you're going to be breathing as much as you are breathing, you might as well breathe the best air. But if someone only had a limited budget or could only have one, what do you recommend getting, and where do they put it?
So first of all, you know, people are very welcome to reach out to us.
Okay.
And we're going to try to talk them through some of those decision making. Because it can get complicated. There can be a lot of questions. You know, we have dozens of products that you can put in your home. So it can be confusing. And a lot of times it's not a single product. It might be a combination of products. But one of the conversations we'll have is, you know, what's practical and realistic, and then what's ideal. In most cases, the ideal is not going to be realistic for people. It'd be great if every room in your home had an iAdapt, you know, the highest grade of HEPA, carbon, layers of technology, you know, air quality sensors. That would be fantastic. But almost all of our customers cannot afford that. So we're going to steer them towards a technology that's going to give them great efficacy with almost no maintenance, no ongoing costs, you know, lifetime warranty, keep it as simple as possible. And then they can be more proactive and move that unit around to where they need it the most. They won't get the speed of removal that something like your iAdapt has, but they're going to get very broad spectrum coverage for low cost. So typically for like a one bedroom apartment, we're going to steer people towards what's called an AO1000G3.
Covers. I love the names you guys come up with.
Covers up to 1,000 square feet and has no maintenance for 2 to 3 years. And so if you think about kind of the normal cost of owning an air filter, and you do need to change your filters, by the way, that's a good tip. Yeah. You know, if you do have a filter you've had and you've kind of been thinking if you should change it or not, you should probably either turn it off or change the filter because of the...
What happens if you just let the filter keep going?
It itself can be the problem. So that's where mold can grow. A lot of these filters don't have any way to even kill something like mold. It's just all clogged up with particulates at that point.
And so the solution becomes the problem.
Yeah. So it's no longer effective. So that's a good thing to consider. You know, all that to say, you know, one of our AO1000G3s, you know, they may cost, you know, $400, and then it covers a two-bedroom apartment for years.
I love it. Yeah. So what I do like, yeah, like you said, it's low maintenance. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't want to go buy a filter and have to put a new one in every 6 months. It's just kind of silly expenses and things like that. So
you can easily spend $1,000 on a single room air filter and not have the efficacy of our G3.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking out there, folks, to get kind of the best filtration as far as, you know, features and efficacy. It may not be the sexiest one, but you know, mm-hmm. it's a good looking unit. I mean, it's not like ugly, right?
We're a bunch of engineers. Yeah. We get it.
But it gets the job mm-hmm. done. Back to that kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, I put it in my bedroom because mm-hmm. sure. I've created a sleep sanctuary. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, best night ever is the show. So it's just another one of the tools in my arsenal mm-hmm. or that I'm able to focus on getting better night's sleep, whether it's the blackout curtains or the grounded sheets that I have in mm-hmm. my bed now sure. and the filtration. One of the things that I also noticed about this air filter, and I'm sure, I mean, you would say most people have some kind of experience with an air filter, right?
I would say, yeah, by now, most people probably have a negative experience with an air filter.
Okay. So speaking of positive experience, uh-huh. you know, as soon as I got this thing home and plugged it in, mm-hmm. I guess the first thing I noticed was that this thing was quieter mm-hmm. than anything I've ever heard, which is a big deal for me because sure. I don't like a lot of noises at night. It does produce a little bit of a white noise, mm-hmm. but it's not terrible. You know, I basically call it white noise. And sure. I also have what's called a bed jet, which is literally a fan air cooling system for my bed that's blowing air. So I've right. got two little fans going mm-hmm. on at night. No big deal. But how is this so much quieter than a lot of these other ones out there?
That's a good question. One is we do try to invest in high quality parts. Yeah. And, you know, this is your unit is American made by us in Texas. So we do try to really put up quality products. But the other thing is just the simple requirements of a filter to push air through it. If all you bought in the store is a big filter, it has fans in there that are having to push all the air through that filter. And as that filter gets clogged, the static pressure grows. So the fans have to work harder and harder and harder. Mm. So you kind of have like a vacuum for your air is essentially what it is. And you're trying to suck up as much of the air as possible and push it through that filter. Ours do not rely only on the filtration. So they also don't have to only have these big fans that are trying to just circulate a ton of air.
Yeah. Yeah. So I noticed that, again, this thing was really quiet and the air that it pushed through was significant. Like mm-hmm. I've had other ones that have had them cranked on high and I couldn't feel a thing.
Sure.
Let's not even get back to that Sharper Image one, which sure. didn't push anything. Like right. I had to stick my face right up against mm-hmm. the grill to get anything.
Right.
So it is pushing air. I can notice it. I know we were talking before off the mics about my experiences with it. One of the coolest things I noticed was, I don't know if you ever been in your bedroom or in a room in the house and it's sunny and the sun's coming through the glass. And mm-hmm. if you just kind of look in that direction, you'll see all these little particles yep. flying in the air. So I did a little experiment in my bedroom where I closed the door. I left the unit running and came back maybe 15 minutes later and just kind of went back and looked up mm-hmm. in the sun. And you know, it was clear. I sure. mean, it was really, really cool.
Yeah. And we love those stories. The thing that to kind of help you think along that is a lot of those particulates you're seeing.
Yeah.
It might be like a human hair.
Yeah, what are those? You know, what's flying in my air?
There's all kinds of things, dust, you know, skin cells, like all that kind of stuff. But we talk about microns as a measurement. A human hair has a diameter around somewhere between 50 and 100 microns.
Okay.
The limitation of the human eye, I think, is around 40, somewhere in that range. So you're kind of right on the verge there with a human hair's diameter. So we were, again, talking about 2.5 microns and lower. Those are the ones that we really care about. So they're far below what you could ever even see.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are so dangerous because they go right past your nasal filters,
yeah.
right into your lungs, even potentially straight into your bloodstream. That's how small they are.
Wow.
And you know, a virus might be less than a single micron or 2 microns.
But this thing will catch the viruses.
With something like virus, we're actually killing it.
Okay. So it's not trapping. It's actually...
So we're doing multiple things, right? So... You know, with something like a virus, we're killing it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Amazing. All right. So getting close to the end of the show here. But so for people who are listening and are interested in going down this rabbit hole a little bit more, sure. what are some of the ways they can, you know, either pay attention to the air quality in their home or improve it?
Yeah. I mean, as much as you can reduce the sources of contamination, that's a good start.
So such as?
So, you know, the types of cleaning chemicals you use, when you open your windows... You know, is it during rush hour? Do you live by a highway? What time of the year is it? What's going on outside? If you're just starting to think about those things, I think you can make big improvements without spending a ton of money. You know, having a kind of a mitigation solution like ours inside, I think is a really good step. But just looking at what are the sources of mold, you know, mold in your home, you know, did you have leaks in your home and now there's like a mustiness like near HVAC or in a room or something. Just as if you're starting to think about those things, you can make a lot of proactive steps to address them.
Yeah. I would say also, if you've already gone down other things and are still not getting the recovery or the, sure. the solutions mm-hmm. you're looking for, maybe it's time to kind of consider the air quality. Because, yep. you know, I've done, I just, you know, this whole biohacking thing, I just literally go down a list and just keep knocking things right. out that are potential contaminants, aggressors, mm-hmm. attacks on the immune system, sure. whatever it is. And, you know, this was kind of the one of the more final frontiers yeah, for me, sure. which is crazy, but it's such an obvious one is, yep. you know, basically we're breathing all the time, but yep. we're not even paying yep. attention to it.
And you know, when it comes to like sleep, we actually tend to push people to start in the bedroom.
Yeah.
If they have to start somewhere, because at least you can give yourself a safe space to recover.
Yeah.
Cause we're not advocating for, you know, like living in a bubble, you know, like I want my boys out there, you know, in the leaves, you know, like being exposed, but I also want them to have a safe place to come back to and recover. Yeah. And so if you can only do one thing, looking at the bedroom would be a great place to start.
I think the bedroom is the best place for recovery because we're going to spend about 8 hours there every day.
Yep.
So, and we're kind of, it's an uncontrolled environment once we're asleep. So mm-hmm. whatever you can do to keep it as healthy as possible, yep. you'll sleep better, you'll recover more, you'll build your immune system, you'll be more focused the next day. So
absolutely.
Good tips there. Mm-hmm. If people want to go and learn more about the company and the products, where do they go?
So our website, hypoair.com, HYPOAIR.com.
Okay.
And then we also have a landing page there for best night ever. So hypoair.com/best night ever. We're going to put up some sleep specific tips there and some information related to our products and technologies. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of go down the rabbit hole as much as you want there. We've got more information than you probably care to read on our website. And we're also happy to, you know, hop on the phone with you, answer yeah. questions by email, you know, send you research on, you know, various topics or contaminants and kind of dive into that with you and try to be as transparent as possible on a complicated subject.
Yeah. I mean, as folks can understand, mm-hmm. this thing can go kind of
yes,
deep.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, it's a customized approach where you, mm-hmm. you start to focus in on your individual needs and then
that's right.
do it. Okay. Speaking of best night ever, we were able to secure a discount as well for everyone listening.
That's right.
If mm-hmm. you are interested in getting some of these products, putting in that code best night ever will get you
10% off.
10% yep. off.
Anything on our site.
Anything mm-hmm. on your site, which is very cool. I highly recommend at least checking it out. Learn more about your air quality. It's something that I naively didn't pay as much attention to, but I'm more aware of it now. Once you learn about it, you can't unlearn it, which sure. is the crazy thing. So especially like you said, if you go to hotels or casinos mm-hmm. or hospitals, you're just going to be a little bit more kind of vigilant, hopefully, about
absolutely
what you're breathing in. Or you could just wear a gas mask all the time, I guess, right?
Yeah, we don't recommend that necessarily.
Yeah. All right, folks. So if you want to learn more about the products, you can go to hypoair.com/best night ever.
Best night ever. Yeah. Yep.
And if you want to learn more about me, obviously you can go back to Snore Experts, which is my practice focused on snoring and sleep apnea mm-hmm. solutions, and me at Sleep Biohacker, which is my little Instagram site focused on hacking your sleep. And obviously air quality is going to be one of my new tools. It has been actually, and mm-hmm. it's been great. And that's why I've had you on the show here, because I wanted to share that with everybody. And I think that's a wrap, David. I want to thank that's you for joining us today. This was a blast, mm-hmm. folks. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for some awesome shows coming up. And we will see you next time.
This broadcast is for informational purposes only. Statements and views expressed in this show are not medical advice. The show, including Dr. Jay Corsandi, the co-host, guest, and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of any information contained herein. Opinions of the guests are their own. We do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests, nor do we make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. If you think you have a medical problem, please consult a licensed physician.